Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit.
Hallelujah. Are you ready to get into the Word today? I hope you are. And I want you to come to a place today to where you just settle in to allow the Word of God to change you. Let it transform your life this morning. And as it does, I'm going to reveal some things to you this morning as I get into this, and as the Lord just freshened this in my heart and my life this week and moved me in this direction. I want to be sharing today, and maybe another time, but certainly today. It's something that's going to change our lives today if you'll just allow it to do so. It is the way. It is the way that we live with victory in our lives, and we live to please the Lord God Almighty. If you brought your Bible with you, let's make our confession today. Hold it up real high. Let's say, everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God, and I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name. Somebody shout real loud, hallelujah! Amen. That sounds great. Open the scriptures with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6. As we get there this morning, let me get logged in here and I'll be right there with you. And then we'll be on the same page together. Luke chapter 6 is what I want us to look at. Notice what I have. What does the Bible say about the power of words? The power of our words. I have for a text Luke chapter 6, verse 45, and I have it there on the New King James Version. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And not, I'm getting mixed up between King James and the New King James. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Notice what it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Three goods there, a good man or a good woman, a good person, out of a good treasure. You have something in you. You have a treasure on the inside of you, something good there, he's saying, a good treasure. And he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. The good treasure that's in me will bring forth good things unto me. A good man with a good treasure in his heart will bring forth good things. Now, he's talking about a divine principle and law here in the book of Luke, and it works as it so often does both ways, because he tells us, an evil man, a man who is not good, not righteous, a wicked man, an evil man out of the evil treasure. An evil man has evil treasure on the inside. And what does he do? An evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. He brings forth evil things. And then notice he says, why is this happening? For of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. From the abundance of his heart, his mouth is speaking. How do you bring forth good things? Not just by being a good man with a good treasure. How do you bring forth evil things? Not by just being an evil man with an evil treasure. He brings them forth by the abundance of his heart and his mouth speaking. Everybody say mouth. Say it again, say speaking. Mouth speaking. Mouth speaking. We call them words. They are words. It's how we communicate. It's how we talk. It's how we tell what's on the inside of us. It's how we tell what is on the outside of us. And these words that we have, Brother Copeland says like this, they are containers. They contain things within the words that we speak. They contain something. And they are powerful. With our words, you can do a lot of things. I can transfer information by the avenue of words. I can transfer wisdom by the avenue of words. I can also transfer ignorance by the avenue of words. I can make you smile based on the words I say to you. I can make you sad based on the words I say to you. I can make you experience and feel love based on the words I say. I can make you feel hatred based on the words that I say to you. I can start wars with my words, nation against nation. You can heal with your words. You can cause a divorce with your words. You can bring salvation with your words. Words are extremely powerful, and they are one of the main ways. In fact, words are in part of every way that we do something for God. Words are always involved. They're always there. And if you and I, as children of God, if we come to God and we say, Lord God, change our heart, as we should, take this heart of stone and make it a heart that is filled with love and make it a heart of righteousness and take away this wicked heart. And we ask God to come into our life and come in our heart as well as we should. But with that, you ought to also recognize that you don't just change your heart. You don't just change your mind, but you also change your words. You must change what you say. If you do not change what you say, if you don't change what you speak, then your life is going to continue to go the way you're speaking, like it or not. What you're speaking into your life is the direction that you are going. My wife and I were married in October. Well, she wasn't my wife then. My girlfriend and I were married, I guess you might say, in October. And when we got married in 1973, we said two words that changed our lives. And they were the words, what were they? I do. Two words changed our lives. Now, it didn't just change our lives because we got married. It did. But immediately after that, if there had been, I don't know, I always tell Sheila all those hundreds of girls that were after me, you know, they just stopped coming around. But anyway, that's why she never saw them. They really weren't there. But anyway, if they had come around, then I would have to give them the new language as well. No longer available. No vacancy. Closed for business. You know, and no more out there anymore. I'm married now. I'm committed to one girl. And I have said, I do. That was my word then. But I keep saying my words. But if I don't, if I keep saying those old words and say other words and do things like that, it's going to destroy my marriage, destroy our relationship. There are so many things that you can look at in life and you can see that same thing going on in your life, no matter what it is. You go into your job and you begin to work at wherever you're working at. And you come in and they talk to you about what you're supposed to do. You recognize what you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to say, how you're supposed to act. And if you do that, you're going to have success. You're going to have victory. You're going to have good things going on for you at the job. But if you don't, you won't. And we recognize that. You don't walk into the job and you get a job and somebody asks you, what do you think about, you know, the person in management above you or the supervisor or the job. And you don't start bad-mouthing them and downing them to everybody there. You're going to lose your job. It's not going to work for you that way. You have to change your language if you're going to be part of a team, part of a joint effort to make things happen. And it's like that. Why is it some people think that you get saved and you can just keep talking any way you want to talk the rest of your life and it doesn't matter? That is not the case. You cannot keep talking the way you talked when you came out of the world in this Christian life and have any kind of victory or of success in your life if you keep that old language. You've got to change your words. Now, we're also given the clue here how that happens in Luke 6:45. Notice it's the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What I fill my heart with is going to come out my mouth. And so it's not hard. Some people say, uh-oh, I need to bite my tongue. I better watch what I say. I understand that, but that's really, you know, just at the surface level of trying to address the things. You need to go deeper than that. Don't address just what you're trying to say, but address what's in your heart that caused you to say it. Because it said, the abundance of your heart, your mouth begins to speak. Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I am speaking, I am saying what my heart is filled with. If I want to change my language, I have to change what goes into my heart and what my heart becomes full with. What you meditate on, what you think about on, what you consume your life with all the day long. As you do that inside of your heart, that will build up in you, and that's what's going to come out your mouth, and that's what's going to direct and lead your path, as James tells us about that bit in that horse's mouth. The words are the bits in your mouth that lead and guide your whole life. Now, it says it very clearly in Luke 6:45. If we read it another passage, we could look in Matthew 12, and we'd find out. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, Matthew 12, verse 36, I say to you that every idle word men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And so when you're talking about words, you're not saying, oh, you're just talking about words. No, I'm talking about a judgment issue. Because on the day of judgment, we are judged based on the words that came out our mouth. He said it like this in verse 37 of Matthew 12. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. And so, you know, that's one of the most powerful things I think I can see in Scripture right there on Judgment Day, that I'm going to be judged about what I said and what I let come out of my mouth. And the only reason I did that is because I filled my heart with it. So my words are just an indicator of what is in my heart in the first place. And so if I'm going to be judged this way, I want to come out on the winning side. How about you? I want to be a winner on this thing. I don't want to be, you know, just hear the truth that you're going to be judged based on your words and what you have said and the way you've lived your life. You're going to be judged that way and just walk away from it and say, it really doesn't matter. I don't care. And I'm not going to do one single thing about the way I speak or way I talk or the words that come out of my mouth. That's not the way we should do it. God takes it very seriously. Listen here carefully. In Psalms 89:34, God said, my covenant I will not break. I will not alter the thing that goes out of my lips. So God says, what I have spoken, what I have said, that's what you can count on. That's what I'm doing. We used to say this quite a bit in America, that people are men or women of their word. And if they tell you something, they'll do it. You used to didn't need contracts. When people would tell you something, I mean, with the evildoers you did, but with the people who are what I would just call good Americans and just common sense, just good folks, you know, out there, they tell you they're going to do something, they're going to do it. David the psalmist said, when I tell you I'm going to do something, I'll do it even if it's to my hurt. Once I put my word out there, I'm going to do what I have said that I'm going to do. And God says, I won't break my covenant. The words that have gone out of my lips, I'm not even going to alter them. And so you and I should be the same way with God's word in our heart, in our life. Just another verse. Job said it like this. Job said in Job 6 and verse 24, he says, teach me to hold my tongue. Remember what Job did? Boy, we got 42 chapters of Job. I believe it's 42. Yes, it is. And so while he's there talking and his friends come by, they accuse him of everything in the book. I mean, they're trying to blame him for everything under the sun that he possibly might have could have done. And they go to work doing that. And Job says this, well, teach me and I'll hold my tongue. You got something better for me to do? He's telling them, teach me, I'll hold my tongue. Cause me to understand. Tell me where I've erred. Now, what have I went wrong in my tongue? And then he says this in verse 25, how forcible are right words. Words are forcible. Words are powerful. And that's why I have, what does the Bible say about the power of our words? They are powerful. How forcible are right words. How many of you ever know, maybe you got angry at somebody, got in a fuss, a little spat, whatever, and you let some words out, man, later on you wish you hadn't, but somehow they lodged in their heart and they stayed there for years. And those words just stayed there, and you dealt with that time after time and time again. How forcible, though, are right words. They are powerful, powerful words. Now, let me show you something. Turn with me all the way back to the book of Genesis, and let me show you something, because here's where I'm going to zero in today. It's just really one simple thought. It's just really one easy thing to understand, and that's this, is that words are like tools to us. They are something we use to get the job done, our words. If I were to come in and build this church, I would need certain tools. If I were an electrician, I might need wire cutters. I'd need some other kind of materials to do it with, the wire and different things that I've got to wire up this building. I would need knowledge, of course. That would be a tool. I would need screwdrivers. That would be a tool. I would need needle nose pliers. That would be a tool. I need a lot of tools to do the electrical work. I need tools to be the carpentry work, the saw, the hammer, the tape measure, the rule. I need all those tools to make it happen. Plumbing, same kind of way. Whatever we did to build this building, you would have to have tools. And without the tools, you couldn't build the building. You might have the know-how, but if you don't have the tools, you can't build this building. And some of us, we look at our lives and we just keep knowing, but we don't use the tools that God's provided for us to build this spiritual house that you and I are building. And that's what I want you to see. There are tools, and one of these tools, in fact, what I believe to be the strongest, most powerful, greatest, biggest tool that you have in your spiritual arsenal is the tool of your words. The tool of what you say and what you speak, what comes out of your mind, out of your heart, and out of your mouth into this world, that tool of your words, you do something. Do you know with words, there are people that can walk in and they can convince you and they can talk you into buying something that you didn't want to buy at all? Have you ever done that? Have you ever been approached by a very good salesman? Maybe it was a car, maybe it was a vacuum cleaner, maybe it was this, that, and other. And wow, they just gave you the sales pitch. And before it was over, you just finally bought from that person. Several years ago, there was a guy that came by my house, and wow, he wanted to put some covering, I guess you would call it sealer, on our driveway and that kind of thing. And so he came in. I said, we'll probably do that ourselves a little bit later on. He said, well, you could, but this. And he talked about how he did it and how long it would take him to do it or not long to take him to do it and how he would do it and how it would stand up and this kind of stuff. I said, well, you know, I understand all that. You're probably pretty good at it, but no, I think we'll probably do it ourselves. And a little bit later, he said, but you know what? The price is right. And he kept talking and kept talking. Finally, I agreed to let him seal my driveway. And he did a great job. He did a wonderful job at a very fair price, and it was very, very good. But you know what? He started out with me saying no, to me saying no again, to me saying maybe. And when I said maybe, there's stars lit up in his eyes. And because he knew he was on the right road. And then after that, finally, he gets me to say yes. And finally, he gets me to take out my checkbook and write him a check. Okay? He was a good self. But how did he do that? He changed my mind with words. And you know, I have to realize words are extremely powerful in the earth. And words will change not only our mind, but the direction of our lives. And it is a powerful tool that we can use. Look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And if you look throughout the rest of this chapter, as you see what God began to do, in day one, he restored the light by saying, God said. God said. And you're going to see that phrase in there six different times. God said. Day two, he restored the firmament. Day three, dry land, vegetation. Day four, the solar system, the vegetation. Day five, created the fish, the birds, all those kind of things that he did. Restored the dry land. Day six, created land animals and man. On seventh day, we know that he rested. But all 6 days, he did this by this creation that we understand, the restoration of the earth that he created there and did in Genesis chapter 1. All this he did with words. He didn't come down and say, all right, we're going to divide this thing up into three shifts. We're going to have the cherubim, you work during the day, the seraphim, you work in the evening, and at night, all the angels, you come in and work. He didn't do that. He didn't say, I'm going to create these mechanical tools that will come in, these robots or different things that will come in, and make and create the earth. He didn't do that. He did it with his words. And so what we learn is this, God uses his words to create things. God does it that way. That's the way he does it. God uses his words to create things. And you know, as we look and we see that, we find out in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that is not seen. And it goes on to say, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. How many wants to have a good report? Say amen. That's us. Verse 3, through faith we understand the worlds framed by the word of God. Now, don't think this like some people think. Some people think, oh, God framed the worlds by this book. No, I know when you and I think word of God, and I do, I think this book, it is the word of God. Of course it is. Mine says Holy Bible, Holy Scripture, some of them will say. It is the word of God. That's not what he's talking about. When he framed the worlds, he did it says, by the word spoken word of God Almighty. Not the, remember, there wasn't a book back then. Genesis hadn't been written yet. There's no Bible when he does this. So don't think it's the word of God that he used to do that. No, it's the words that came out of his mouth, the spoken, everybody say spoken word. The spoken word of God framed this place. So I'm, you know, I have evidence here, and you and I do too. We're on planet Earth, and we have full evidence that words are powerful. They will accomplish things. I talked to you about some emotional things, love, hatred, that kind of stuff, about words do, and we understand those things. But now we're moving into a reality where words of God create material substance. How do you know it does? Because I'm standing on it, and you're standing on it. We live on it. We call it our world. It is planet Earth. And it was made by something we cannot see, as it tells in the book of Romans, and also here as well. It's made by the spoken word of God. The spoken word of God did it. I mean, and we could look in Hebrews 11, verse 3 there. The Amplified Bible says it like this: by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. Framed, fashioned, put in order by the word of God, the Amplified Bible says. And do you know that you and I can take our words that we have and frame and fashion and put into order our very lives? By our words. Somebody say, words are powerful. They are powerful. They will change you. They will change me. They will change our world. You could look at another place, and, you know, not to belabor it, but Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who at sundry times in divers places or many places spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken by his Son, whom he hath appointed to be heir of all things, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Not only did God make it and create it, but it's still here today because God's word is still upholding it right now. Because don't you know that Satan has tried to destroy it again and again and again and again? He never gives up. He fights continually, and he loses, excuse me, day by day. But God's word continually upholds things. It continually upholds this world that you and I are living in. It's the power of his spoken word that he has spoke unto us. Now, turn with me to John. I want everybody to see this. Turn to John chapter 1 and verse 1. You might can quote it, but let me read it to you. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The starting place is the Word. We start with the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. I understand he's talking about the divine Logos. He's talking about Christ Jesus before he came in the manger, before he was Jesus, before he was the Son of God. He's coming in a manger, being born in a manger. Before that act, he was known as the Word, the Logos of God. The same was in the beginning with God. Notice verse 3. All things were made by him. Who is him? The Word. All things are made by him, the Word. Without him, the Word was not anything made that was made. Nothing was made outside of God's spoken word into this world that created everything that we are, all that we have, anything we can see, anything that exists. It's all made and created by the word of Almighty God. You know, the Bible tells you and I that we are created in God's image, fashioned by his hand. Do you know that the way that you and I work is also that same way? That anything that comes into your life, anything that happens for you, begins with a word. That's the starting place of everything going on and happening in your life. It starts with your word. Everybody say, my words are powerful. My words will change things in my life. So then, when I come to God and I receive salvation and I become born again in my heart and my spirit and God does a work in me, I also at that point begin to change my word from the old way that I spoke to the new way that God now tells me to speak. We now live and we walk by faith and not by sight. We now live our lives based on the word of God. We now speak the word of God into our lives and into our world and into our surroundings. We're speaking the words of God. They become our word and they begin to bring things into our life. They begin to bring forth. They are spiritual realities. In other words, they will make things happen in the real world that we're actually acting in, motivating in, or motivated to act in the spiritual world. What I'm doing spiritually. Because think about it. What else can you do? If you want God to do something in your life, what can you do? You can't. I mentioned those carpentry tools, electrical tools, plumbing tools. You can't take those things out and build something and all of a sudden you got a good thing from God. It's not that way. It doesn't happen that way. You can't take those tools and, you know, get things to happen for you. If you have sickness and disease in your body, you can't take those tools and fix yourself with them. It doesn't work that way. But you can take the tool I'm talking about, the tool of the Spirit, and speak the word of God into your life, and it can heal your body no matter what you got. Somebody say amen. It can. And so that's the reality that you and I can live in our lives. Now, let's go a little bit further. I've talked about God the Father. Let's go to the New Testament. Go there with me to Luke chapter 4, and let me show you something. When Jesus came, remember, the Bible tells in the book of Philippians chapter 2 that when he came to this world that he emptied himself. He emptied himself and he lived this life as a man would live his life. Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He didn't do all those mighty works because he was God. He did those mighty works because God was with him. When he came to this earth, he laid down, at the very least, the attributes of God in his life, so to speak, of which he is, was, has been, always will be, but laid it aside and lived like a man, operated like a man, with the anointing of God on his life, and showed you and I how to live as an example. The Bible clearly teaches us that. And so, what did he do? What did Jesus do when he lived on this earth? Notice Luke chapter 4, verse 31. Scripture tells us that he came down to a city of Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. The one thing they notice when Jesus speaks that's different than everybody else is this. Verse 32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Everybody say, words have power. That was the thing that was different about Jesus than everybody else. A lot of people could have talked about Old Testament scriptures as Jesus did in Isaiah 61. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. A lot of people could have quoted that. But when Jesus quotes it, it's different than everybody else. Because his words are with power. He has powerful words. And they notice it right off. Because it's not like what they do. And you know what? When you begin conforming your life, really transforming your life by the words that you speak in this life, what you'll notice is a lot of people around this world won't have a clue what you're doing. Think you're nuts. Think you're crazy. Don't understand. And, you know, just not into it whatsoever. Well, I'll say it when I got it. Well, I said it before I got it, and I got it. Have you got yours yet? Well, no, not yet. But when I do, then I'll say it. Well, I said it first and got it. I got it after I said it. Now I can keep on saying it. I mean, you know, they say things even though the things they say don't work. And so you're going to have to realize when you begin to order your life by words that come out of your mouth, people will think you've gone insane, which is a good thing in this world that we live in. If this world comes to you and tell you you're crazy, you ought to say, thank God, hallelujah, I've arrived, I'm on my way. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's what I wanted them to think. That's what I wanted them to say. If this world is nutty as they are, think we're nuts. That's a compliment. All right, look in Luke chapter 4. You still there? Luke verse 33. In the synagogue, there was a man there that had a spirit of an unclean devil, cried out with a loud voice.
You see, the devil will use their words. This devil cried out with a loud voice. He got loud. Why is it that the world can just throw out words over the internet, television, radio, anywhere and everywhere in public, and throw out all their words that they want to throw out? But they tell you, no, 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 no. Keep your mouth shut. We don't want to hear from you. Don't be talking to us like that. Don't speak your words. Don't do it. And we're living in a day and age right now where governments of the land and laws are being passed where you get put in jail and come against you for all kind of things when you just speak your word. Well, the last I understood, and I still think I understand the Constitution and you know, the Bill of Rights, everything that we have that we work by, the last I understand, we do have this thing called freedom of speech. And anybody in this world can believe whatever they want to believe. That's their choice. They can be as crazy as they want to believe. But you and I don't have to be that same crazy. Amen? Don't go down that road. If they go down it, that's fine. I wish they didn't. But since they're going, that's their choice. They can go. But I've got my choice not to just as well. It's amazing how all the people talk about people being intolerant or so intolerant. Think about it. All the people who say others are intolerant, why are they saying that? Because they're intolerant of you. I mean, it's a strange world we live in. Notice it. This devil cried out with a loud voice. And verse 34 saying, let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him. What is a rebuke? And how do you rebuke? Did Jesus pick up a ball bat and whop him in the head with it? No. Did he, you know, have his concealed carry permit and went back and pulled out his .38 and shot it? No. He rebuked him. He did something more powerful than a ball bat, more powerful than a .38. Well, what he did, he rebuked him, saying, that's how you rebuke. You say it. He's using words now. This devil-possessed man is in the synagogue, crying out with a loud voice, and Jesus is going to use words to bring him under subjection and indeed to deliver him. He's going to do that with words. Remember, I thought he was the Son of God. He is. Remember, he laid down that part of him, and now he's living like a man would live on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now he's speaking Holy Spirit-empowered words. He's speaking words. That's the best way to do it. That's the only way that we can do it, because we do not live our life based on our own works. We live our life based on what God has done for us, and so we acknowledge that with our words. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's making an acknowledgement of the words. Notice, he says, hold your peace, come out of him. And when the devil thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. So the devil obeyed Jesus' words, right? And Jesus didn't have to get all upset and pitch a fit and do all this, do all that. No, he just simply told him to get out. Told him how? With his words. He spoke words. So Jesus believed in the power of words. Verse 36, they were all amazed, spake among themselves, what a word is this? In other words, they didn't say use anything else. This is a word. This guy's got a word. He's got a word. And what a word is this, that with this word, with authority, the right to command, and power, the dunamis of God, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. What kind of word is this? It's the words that you and I all have available to us right now. If the word can change this man who is devil-possessed, free him up, and deliver him at a word's notice, don't you know words can do things for us as well? I mean, God doesn't love this man any more than he loves us. He won't do for him any more than what he'll do for us. And so the problem that I have found is many of us have so much difficulty with our words is because we keep speaking things and saying things into our life, and that's what we keep getting. At the same time, we say we don't want it, but keep talking it right on to into our lives. It's the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. We had that little joke, you know, people go to the doctor, and they say to the doctor, it hurts when I do this. And the doctor says, what? Then, don't do that. It's real simple, isn't it? It's very simple. Someone gave me a prayer request the other day, and not in our state here, an online person, and they said, would you pray for me? I said, what you want to pray for?
And they said, well, I want to pray that I'll be, won't you pray that I'll be close to God and that I'll serve him and honor him in all my life. I said, and they said, now I want to know more about it. Will you pray that? I said, no, I don't really need to pray. I could, but I'm not going to pray for that. They said, why not? And I said, well, here's what you do. Go out and get the Word of God. Saturate yourself in the Word of God, and you will get closer to God. You don't need me to pray about that. That's just something you got to do. Go out there and get closer to God. How? Somebody said, I want to be close to God. Well, pray and read your Bible. You'll get closer to God. Now, on the other hand, I can pray for you all day, night and day for the next 20,000 years and won't get you any closer to God until you begin doing those things. Because how would you be closer to God? By prayer and reading your Bible. Because what is close to God? You pray, you talk to him, and he talks to you reading the Bible. That is close to God. That's the essence of what close to God is. I mean, so it's amazing. You have to do that. Someone also this week, from I think they're from Louisiana, somewhere like that, but they'd been watching the teaching on Wednesday night on God's Plan of the Ages teaching. I had 49, you know, sessions that we did on that, and I was amazed. And they sent me an email, said, you know what, we just got through watching all 49 of the teaching on the Plan of the Ages. I feel like I know more about this world and how it worked than I ever have in my life. Now, she could have said, pray for me to know how this world works. But she watched all 49 of one-hour sessions, all 49 of those, watched them every one, and it came to her. She got the knowledge. She understood it. She was in Scripture. She was doing Bible study. It was working for her. And so recognize you have the tools to do what you need to do, and one of those tools is your words. And if you don't change your words, but yet you keep on saying, well, I wish this, and I wish that, and I want that, and I want that, and I just hope this. You know, it's not going to do you any good. Until you change what's coming out of your mouth, the rest of you will not go that direction that you want it to go. James clearly tells us that. We'll get to that when we get to it. Notice Matthew 8:16 about Jesus in words. When the evening was come, they brought unto him. Many were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. He cast out the spirit with his word. By speaking, the spirits come out of these people. A word does it. Somebody say, words are powerful. They're powerful. Jesus did. In Matthew 8:20, and this is what Jesus does. There's a storm there. He says to the disciples, why are you fearful? You've got so little faith. Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there's a great calm. What did he do? He spoke to them. He rebuked the winds and the sea. Said to the wind, calm down now, calm down. Said to the sea that's roaring, stop that, settle down. And when he rebukes the wind and he rebukes the sea, there's a great calm. How did he do it? Did he have some type of alien technology that he brought into the world? No, he didn't do that. Did he have something that we don't know about that controls climate and controls weather and he bring? No. He did it with something much more powerful than any of those things. He did it with his words. He spoke a word. Words are tools, and words are powerful. He spoke to a tree. Remember the fig tree he spoke to? The Bible tells us in Mark 11:13, he saw a fig tree afar off. It didn't have any leaves on it. He came happily that he might find something thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. In other words, advertising something it didn't have. Time of figs is not here, but boy, it sure looked like it should have had them. Hypocrite tree, what it was. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said to it. Jesus talks to trees. Be careful when you do that in public. They may put you away. But Jesus talks to trees. He did. He talked to the life in that tree. And the Bible says, he said, no man will eat fruit of you ever again after this. His disciples beside of him heard it. And I don't know, because, you know, right when he said that, they didn't see anything at the moment. But he said it, and when he said it, no doubt they're thinking, oh, Lord, we left everything to follow this man. Now he's out here talking to trees. My, were we on the wrong boat, so to speak? Well, they come back by the next day in Mark 11:21. Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away.
The fig tree you cursed yesterday is dead today. Oh, there's a big teaching lesson right there. Because a lot of people will pray, a lot of people will speak words, and they'll look a second later and say, I wonder what's going on, what's happening. Some people pray and say, Lord God, prosper me and bless me financially. Well, I guess that didn't happen because I don't see anything right now. Well, you ain't got out of church yet. You ain't even pulled your phone out and checked your checking account. How do you know? I mean, you haven't given any time whatsoever. You haven't done anything yet. And so, you know, sometimes you speak the word to the life or the essence of the thing. And it may take some time for that life and essence, that when it dies, for the exterior body of this tree to show that it's now dead. And a lot of Christians leave off right there. Well, I guess this don't work. I'll try something else, you know. I'll just quit. And it's an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing. I'll give you one reality right here. A lot of folks have. Sometimes people will go to the doctor and get a test on this day of the week or on last week. They get the test last week. The test was last week. Then they come up this week and say, pray for me and stand with me in faith, believing that, you know, I'm healed of this thing. Prayer is offered. And the next week they go back to the doctor to get the test that they took before the prayer. And they hear the test says, you're about to die. And then they just give up their faith and say, I don't have anything. The test was before you prayed. You didn't pray to change the test that you took a week ago. You prayed for healing. So a lot of us do that. I mean, I've seen people do that over the years. And just throw away their faith, throw away their prayer life, throw away everything. Well, I guess God, And some people think God's a magic like that. Lord God, as I walk out here to the mailbox, in the name of Jesus, let me have a $10,000 check in the mailbox right now. And the mail just ran a little bit ago. You know, you're expecting God to either insert it in there or change that mail or something. My common thing, we'll have FedEx or UPS or something come by our house when I do. First thing I always ask them, have you got my check? And they say, what check? I said, that $10,000 publisher clearinghouse check I'm supposed to be getting. He said, no, but when I get it, will you split it with me? I said, I sure will. You bring it, we'll split it together. It's just going on. But some people think God is a magical, and it's not that way. Words change things. But look at your circumstance and situation and see how the word is operating and working in a thing that you're expecting to be changed. I mean, you know, if my wife and I, if we were in a spat or fuss or an argument like that, we don't. You know, people don't have those, right? And they've never had a fight. But anyway, all that going on in your life. And, oh, God, help me. I just pray, Lord God, let things be right in our relationship with Sheila and I. And so I come out of that prayer, and I come out still mad at her and mad at me. And, I, you know, don't give her the time of day, don't speak to her. Well, I guess God didn't do anything. You didn't think he was going to do anything anyway. But if you come out and start speaking different words, it may take more than one word. If you've been being a louse all week long, it might take 5 minutes to get things right again. Now, if you've been fussing and hollering at each other all week long, it might take a little bit to get that out. You got to get that bad seed out, get the good seed in before you see some real change taking place. Jesus taught it like that. He said that mustard seed is very small, but if you put it in a field, it will grow up and it will take over that big old tree that was out there, and it will become a big tree itself and take over everything else. But it don't happen on day one. And when you're dealing in the realm of the spirit and you're dealing in the realm of reality, that we are injecting what the spiritual reality is into our real world, as you do that, recognize not every single thing, even God, takes 6 days in the restoration of the earth, right? Even God took 6 days. Okay. Let's look a little bit better. Jesus was known. In fact, Jesus used words so much, he began to be known as a word, started to say a faith minister, but a word minister. Because what happens to him later on, in Matthew 8, verse 8, there's a centurion, big will in the Roman government, in Roman army, centurion, over 100 different men under him, answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come to my roof. In other words, he's asking, will you come and pray for my servant? And he said, I'm not really worthy that you come to my house and pray over my servant, that he should be healed. And he says it to him, but speak the word only. In other words, Jesus has become known
of one that speaks words and things happen. The centurion said, you don't have to come. I don't need you at my house. Why do I need that? Because the way that you work, Lord Jesus, is you speak words, and from those container words that you speak, things happen. So all you got to do is speak a word only, is what he said. You don't need to do anything else. Just like some Christians sometimes would say, listen, I need to pray for me. And listen, Leon, pray hard. I want you to pray real hard. Here we go. I'm going to try. Oh, God. Oh. Did that help? Are you feeling better now? Oh, I felt that, Leon. Woo. Pray hard. You need to pray in faith. Somebody say amen. Trust in God, and the person asking prayer needs to make sure that they're in a place of receiving and believing their own self to receive. And if any two or three agree together on earth as touching anything that shall ask of the Father above, it'll be done for them. And so there's rules. I didn't see anywhere in there where it said that if any two or three of you pray hard, or any two of you, three of you, you know, strain and all this kind of, no. And so Jesus was known of having this word ministry. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. God the Father uses words, as we've seen. Jesus uses words, as we've seen. I mean, if you want to sort of hermeneutically put this together, you can sort of see the way I'm going, because I'm going to be talking about the disciples. And if I talked about God using words and I talked about Jesus using words, what am I going to talk about the disciples do? They do what? They will use words. And when I get through beating on the disciples, then I'm going to go to us. Right? Because I think if it's good enough for God, if it was good enough for Jesus, and if it's good enough for the disciples, it's good enough for you and me. How about that? How about that? And we're not going to go another way, another direction. We're going to do it the Bible way. All right. Peter used the words. Now, that's saying a lot for Peter because he was a loudmouth. He was a man that anytime something happened, he got right out there in the thick of it, right at the beginning of it. He's going to speak up. He's going to let his words be known. He's going to speak. He's going to say it. I mean, even to the point, it doesn't matter which side he's on. One minute he'll be telling Jesus, Jesus, I'll stand with you if nobody will. I'll be there with you. In fact, let's cut some ears off. Let's do whatever we got to do. I will do it, Peter says. The next moment, Peter says, I don't even know Jesus. I never heard of him. And just cussed up a storm because he didn't want anybody to think he was connected to Jesus because he recognized Jesus is about to be killed. And so Peter goes one way or the other, and either way he goes, he does it big time. He either gets real loud and says, I'm on Jesus' side, or he cusses you out and says he's not. But he's way up there to either extreme that he's working at. And the thing about it is this, don't worry about it. If you were a terrible sinner and you was just the biggest sinner around town, thank God you got saved because now you'll be one of the best Christians in God's church. I believe that. He'll take whatever you were and move it. So, you know, Bible says what? He that forgiveth much, what do they do? They love much. Love much. All right. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14, Peter is standing up on the day of Pentecost. The power of God falls on earth. Holy Spirit comes that Jesus promised on the day of Pentecost. More to say about that in a moment. But verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Not the other 11, just him. He's going to speak first. And so he gets that there and lifts up his voice. This is the same Peter that denied Christ three times just some 50 days before Pentecost. It's the same Peter that has done this. And now, though, he has repented and wept for his sin in denying Christ, repented of that sin, followed Christ all the way to the upper room, became baptized in the Holy Spirit, and now that voice he has is a very powerful, Spirit-filled voice. Everybody say, I have a powerful, Spirit-filled voice. So then, when you speak and when I speak, it's not just our words. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us. The Holy Spirit is upon our words. Notice what happened. In verse 14, he lifted up his voice, said to them, you men of Judea, all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. Hearken to my words. Listen to my words. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm speaking. These are my words that I'm speaking. Everybody say words. And look what happens, verse 15. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it's just the third hour of the day, but this is which was spoken by the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And so the same thing that Joel spoke about, this is what's taking place. Peter is now bold. He's not scared. He's not running away like he did before. He's not drawing his sword. He's a member of the, you know, the NRA. He's not drawing his sword. He always carries one with him. He's not doing that anymore. And now he's dependent upon his words, his voice. This is what he's going to use now. It's more powerful than his sword. It's more powerful than his feet will take him when he runs away. He's using the most powerful thing he's ever found, and that is his words. How is that? The Holy Spirit just filled him and given him words of unknown tongues that he speaks. And so he has power in his voice. Tongues of fire, or words of fire. Tongues of fire has fallen on him. And so he's got this power in his life. In Acts 2 and verse 22, he said, "You men of Israel, hear these words." And he begins to talk to them about Jesus. He tells them words. In Acts 2 and verse 37, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, he's speaking again. He's telling them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There are promises unto you and your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words, verse 40, many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they gladly received his word. They were baptized, and the same day they added 3,000 to the church. So he now uses these words to bring people into the kingdom of God. And if you can have a word that'll loose 3,000 people from the hands of the devil, that is a powerful word. He has the most powerful thing he's ever had in his life. He has words that are touched and anointed by God, and he's speaking those words out. Speaking them out. How many knows that you, when you are born again, the Lord is on the inside of you? Everybody say amen. Amen. And you can be filled with the Spirit, just like they did on the day of Pentecost, be overflowing, and you have these anointed words that come out of your life. You're speaking with tongues, interpretation, prophecies, all these different things we see them operating with in the New Testament. And they're speaking, and these words come out. And you and I have powerful words. The Holy Spirit is within us. Jesus is in us. And when we speak, and we begin using our words, and we say, "I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know how I'm going to make it." You just spoke words to your downfall. You just spoke words that's going to destroy your life. You just said things that the rest of you is now going to follow. You're going to follow your words. So why would you? Why would you say, "I don't know how I'm going to make it, I don't know what I'm going to do"? Why would you say that? Why? Why would you let those horrible words come out your mouth? As a child of God, knowing the power of words, why would you not say, "You know what? This might be a difficult time and things are hard and difficult issues of life, but I know this, my God shall provide for me." That's the word I'm going to say. And you know what you did with that word? You just opened the door for God to come into your life with provision. You opened the door for God to come on your scene. For God to come to your rescue. You did it with your words. It is so powerful that when we are born again, we do it because we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then we are saved. We believe, we confess, we are saved. And so why would you have that reality going on in your heart and your life, and then you face different things in life and circumstances? And I don't know. Some people sometimes, like, they're just looking for a pain, you know. If you live long enough on this earth, every now and then you just have a pain come out of anywhere, out of everywhere. Uh-oh, felt a little bump in my arm. Oh, God, what could that be? Oh, Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. Oh, God, I'd do it. No, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, there really is such a thing as growing pains. There really is. Little children have growing pains, yeah. They do. You're growing. How you think this thing got from this to that? Try doing some stretching and see if that don't hurt. There's growing pains. There's growing. So don't take everything that's going on at you. Say, "Oh, God, it's the end of the world now. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, God." Oh, why say that? You might say something like, first of all, I don't want to acknowledge it, but if I did acknowledge it, then I'm going to say, "Well, you know, I'm not a doctor, medical doctor, or anything like that, but hey, I know this. The Bible teaches me that God is my physician. He is the Lord God that heals me."
and I have the health of God. He said, with long life, I'll satisfy you, Psalms 91. And so I'll live till I'm satisfied with living. Amen?
Amen.
Why not say that? Amen. Now you put your words out there. Thing might be tough financially. What do you say? It might be tough financially in reality. If I looked at it, that's what I might have to say. But you know what? That's not what I'm going to say. What I'm going to say is my God's going to make a way for me. And my God's going to bring provision into my life. And my cup runs over and my storehouse is filled. And there's wealth and riches in the house of the righteous. And God said he'd never see the righteous out begging for bread. They would never be forsaken. And that's me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I got so angry one time. But I tried to control myself. And this was several years ago. And I walked into one of these stores in our town. And there was a group out there selling donuts. And they were a church group. And it just come out. I said, what are you doing out here selling donuts? I said, you have a God who is God Almighty. He promised to supply all of your needs by his riches in by his riches in glory, right? What are you doing out here selling these donuts? Why are you doing that? Quit, get out of the donut business and get into the word business and the faith in God business. And God will take care of you. God will support you. So what did they say? They said, I don't guess you can buy any donuts. Sorry, I said, well. Donuts, donuts. Anybody want donuts? Donuts. I want them, but we don't need them. Somebody say, amen. I really don't. But hold your place right there. Put a mark right there. And Sydney was here. She marked on my paycheck. She does every Wednesday night. Let us know where we're at. And we'll pick this up next time we come together. But we're going to keep on going into this because let me tell you something. This is the most powerful thing you got in your life to change your life is the words coming out your mouth. It'll do it. It will do it. It will change your life. In fact, stand up with me. Let's go before the Lord and let's say some words. Let's speak some words. Let's say some things in this house today and let's speak some words. Let's speak some words. Let the words that are your words be the word of God, but speak the words. They are your words. Are your words. Stretch your hands toward the heaven. Everybody, come on. Everybody in the house, stretch your hands toward him. Come on. Come on. Lift your hands up in Jesus' name. Now, pray this and say this with me. Say, Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. Your word says that when I pray in the name of Jesus, you hear me. Therefore, right now, you hear me. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, look over my heart, my life, anything in me not like Jesus, take it away. I confess and repent of all of my sins. Free me of them. Deliver me of them. Wash me in your blood in the name of Jesus. I believe I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. Say it again. Say, I believe I am saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. One more time. Say, I believe I am saved, born again. I am a child of God. And I know that you, Lord God, are on my side. You are for me. You are not against me. So in the name of Jesus, I will always speak words that uplift, encourage, and inspire me. I will speak words that lift up, encourage, inspire everybody I talk to. No corrupt communication will come out of my mouth. No doubt, no unbelief, no fear, no failure. In the name of Jesus, I've been redeemed, and I will live as the redeemed. In Jesus' name, I will have all of my blessings, every promise you have spoken to me, I receive in the name of Jesus. And I will be eternally grateful, thankful, 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 oh Lord God, for all you've done in me. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. With the victory I have, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's my word. That's my word.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross. And you have raised him from the dead, that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.